This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin in the name of Allah, the exalted, the most loving, the ever forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the maintainer, the sustainer of the heavens and the earth and all that is in between. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His peace and His blessings upon His beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of those who follow Him correctly until the day of resurrection, and His wives and His companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from everyone who facilitated this gathering today. Say Ameen. I want to begin by emphasizing a point of reflection. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about an individual with specific righteous traits, generally, the wisdom, one of the many wisdoms, is for us to imitate, to emulate. When we hear from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, alayhi salatu wasalam, that there is a righteous person amongst you, then what did the companions do? Those who were eager for Jannah, they would strive to learn from those companions, men and women. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he tells the companions, there is a man of paradise who will walk into this masjid 3 days in a row. What did the companions do? The hadith from Anas radiallahu an. They went to find out, why is this man a man of Jannah? What is he doing so that we may emulate it? So that we may access this ticket to paradise. And therefore I want to begin with the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Tirmidhi, in which he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, hasbuka min nisa'il alameen, sufficient for you amongst the women of mankind, Maryam, the daughter of Imran, Khadija, the daughter of Khuwaylid, Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Sufficient for you, for us to learn lessons from their lives, for us to emulate what we will cover briefly tonight, and then to study their lives further long after this conference by the will of Allah. Khadija radiallahu anha, I want to ask you a question and I want to hear a loud answer. Khadija, was she righteous before Islam? Yes or no? Yes. And she was known for it before the revelation, before she met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, alayhi salatu wasalam. Khadija radiallahu anha was extremely intelligent, was known for her modesty. Her nickname was At-Tahira, the pure, the chaste, the modest. Khadija radiallahu anha had standards of morality that most of the people in that society did not have. And that's why she was known for it. Khadija was known for her dedication, her patience. She married a man by the name of Atiq, and according to one of the reports, she had 2 children, and eventually her husband died. She became a widow. She took some of the wealth that she inherited. She started a business, a single mother, a single parent. She's very dedicated. Eventually, she remarried. She had 2 children. Her husband, the second husband, also died. She's widowed once again. Khadija radiallahu anha was sought out after many of the people of the city. They would go to ask about her. She was very mature, very intelligent, very dedicated, very righteous, very modest. And this is what attracted people to her, and this is what attracted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to her as well. Now I want us to pause, and I'm going to go on an intentional tangent here. And perhaps it might bother some people. But these are some things that need to be said because of what we're seeing currently. For someone to be nicknamed At-Tahira, the pure, the modest, the chaste, for someone to have this level of haya, it requires us to really ask with sincerity, with dedication, with introspection, where are our standards of morality today? And I'm not referring to us only as a collective, but everyone here should ask this question. Where are our standards of morality today, men and women? Where are our standards of modesty? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us modest. Say ameen. Khadija radiallahu anha, when we talk about her nickname, we realize that she was nicknamed At-Tahira because she stood out. She did not conform. She stood out. If that makes people uncomfortable, it did not matter to Khadija radiallahu anha. If you stand out for being modest or moral today or religious today and people mock you for it, don't be bothered by it. Don't let that bring you down. Because when we look at the reality of what's happening even to the Muslim community, we realize that like many other things in society, even something as sacred as the hijab has become commodified. Even something as sacred as the hijab has become commodified by society. Where men and women, because modesty is for all, where men and women are living in an era and a society that is hyper-sexualized, where all that matters is your superficial appearance. The standards of validation for you to be accepted, for you to be beautiful, for you to be great, is for you to conform to society's expectations, which are hypersexual in their nature. For us to look at this and to wonder what has happened to society is not something that we are isolated from. It is affecting us, and we have to be frank about it. And the reason we're frank about it is so that we are protected from it. When people are told, show more skin, show the body that you have, reveal your figure, reveal more hair, what's wrong with you? Why are you so religious? Why do you have boundaries between men and women? It's a free-for-all. Aren't you an adult? Why do you have gender interaction guidelines? What's wrong with you people? Why are you so conservative? Why are you so strict? Why don't you liberate yourself? These are the things we hear all the time. And the reality is, they're not always direct. Oftentimes, we're impacted by the indirect things we consume. The mass media that tells women, your beauty is what defines you. Your appearance is what defines you. Your makeup is what defines you. And this standard of beauty is actually affecting men as well in the last 10, 15 years. That you're not good enough, except based on your physical appearance. When we see this reality today, we ask, and be very frank, what are the types of mass media you are allowing into your home? What are the types of things that we're watching? Because you might be watching something and you disagree with what's happening. But the levels of morality that are being exemplified through these TV shows and through these movies and through mass media in general, these things are affecting us and we are becoming desensitized, religious or not, whether you claim yourself to be religious or not. And if we're frank about this, then we're able to make progress. If we're frank about this, then we're able to make some kind of improvement, some kind of change, some kind of barrier. What devices do we give to our children? 5, 10-year-olds with complete access to the internet. Where are their standards of morality going to be tomorrow? I know this is a very harsh, direct question, but we're seeing the results of this today. Can we call our children, the daughters and sons, At-Tahir or At-Tahira, in 100 years, if we don't make some kind of change, if we don't address the issue of morality, if we are not learning from the life of Khadija radiallahu anha, she stood out for a reason. Don't feel ashamed to stand out. For the people who have no morality are not ashamed of their immorality. They are not ashamed of their immodesty. Don't feel shy or embarrassed that you are conforming to the expectations of Allah rather than the expectations of mankind. Be proud of what you have. Khadija radiallahu anha is a prime example for us to reflect and to ask this following question. The reality is that most brothers, and I count myself, most brothers do not realize the constant struggle that women are going through, not just in the Muslim community, but all around the world. The standards that are being set directly, indirectly, through marketing, through mass media, whatever it might be, the standards that are being set are making it difficult for people to say, I want to be pure, I want to be good, I want to be righteous, I want to be modest. And this is aside from the fact that even within our community, we find people pushing one another away from Allah. Is this the etiquette of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? that you make people feel incomplete, although they recognize they're struggling. We all struggle, no doubt. Some struggles are external and visible. It does not justify the action, but it's a human struggle. And we have to have empathy and sympathy, because outside of our community, there are more attacks on women. There are more attacks on sisters, that you're not beautiful enough, you're not good enough, unless you show more, unless you reveal more, unless you add more. Wear this, don't wear this. They're constantly being told what to do and what not to do. And these are the standards, the so-called standards of liberalism that are being given to the world, that are so-called freeing the world. And we have to address these issues in our communities as well. Because if you cannot feel complete within the Muslim community, and you're constantly being pushed away from the houses of Allah, the houses that are welcoming for all people, and you're being criticized from outside the Muslim community, where do you expect people to find refuge? Where do you expect them to find a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with their communities? They're being told you're not valuable enough. You're not good enough. Unless you dress the way we tell you to dress and act the way we tell you to act, unless you conform to our movements and trends today, and that the only way you're complete is if you're standing and showing yourself in front of men, because this is their idea of value. When we have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sayya alayhi salatu wa sallam, as a representative for all women and all men, and we should find honor in that. We don't realize the struggles that our sisters go through on a daily basis. This is aside from the Islamophobia, aside from the attacks from all around. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our sisters all around the world. Say ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guard and protect all of our sisters all around the world. Say ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and our sisters and our communities and our brothers and our mothers and our fathers. Say ameen. Wallahi, we don't realize a fraction of what happens when a sister in hijab leaves her home. And this was alluded to earlier in the panel. In that, at the very least, oftentimes, if you're traveling with your sister, your mother, your wife, your daughter, and even if you're alone as a brother, consider wearing something that will make you stand out. There is no problem with that. There is no problem with that. I actually, some of you know, I usually wear a kufi, and I did not intentionally today. After the New Zealand tragedy, I fly almost every weekend. I wore a kufi on the plane, through the lounge, through the airport, no problem. And as I got to one of the lounges, several individuals started staring at me. And then they started saying what? Hey, Osama. Hey, Osama. And look, it's Bin Laden. And I smiled. And then I thought, subhanAllah, like this is the first time I fly 120,000 miles a year. Alhamdulillah, say mashaAllah. This is the first time somebody said something like that to me. And I hear, especially in the community, I get emails, messages, calls all the time. The attacks that our sisters go through because they're very visible. Don't be shy of your visibility as a Muslim today, because these things will never change. Don't be shy and ashamed, brothers and sisters, to hold on to standards of morality that society does not agree with. Be proud of those things. We say on behalf of all of our sisters all around the world, takbir. Takbir, takbir. Wallahi, we don't realize a fraction of what they go through. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless and preserve our sisters and our brothers all around the world. When we find that society today, especially today, as it's unraveling today, the attacks on minorities, the attacks on religious groups and their morality, their modesty, and the attacks on Muslims in general, we emphasize a very important point. Be aware of these attacks, be vigilant, but also be careful. Because there are people who will reach out to us. And there are people who will collaborate with us. And there are people who say, we'll use your votes, we'll use you for our benefit. We will protect you through our ideology. But that ideology as well, whether it's liberalism or secularism or some strands of feminism, those ideologies will agree with you up to a certain point. We collaborate with other people. But 100% as believers, if you want to collaborate with us as Muslims, we will collaborate with all people as long as you accept us completely as we are. Do not tell us to give up a percentage of our faith or our morality or our modesty in this world. If you cannot accept that, then we do not need to collaborate. We have people who will accept that. And we work with people with many differences and we embrace these differences. We can agree to disagree as human beings and live in peace and coexist in peace and not infringe on the rights, the religious rights of any people. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us towards that. I want to share with you a beautiful story. A brother mentioned from his community a story of a convert and the reason she became Muslim 20 years ago. She said, I had two reasons. And this is the only time in my life I've heard these two reasons as reasons for someone to convert to Islam. The first, very common, she said, because of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second, because of Khadija. Allahu Akbar. Have you heard of someone becoming Muslim because of Khadija radiallahu anha? How? She said, for me to study the life of Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, the one who was known amongst his people as As-Sadiq al-Amin, the trustworthy, the honest. Your nickname, the trustworthy, the honest. You're not going to lie. You never lie. For him to marry someone with the nickname of At-Tahira, the pure, the one who holds on to her standards of morality, the one who was known as the great of Quraysh. For these two people to be married and then for him to claim to receive revelation and to run to her and for her to support him and to mention his traits of righteousness. She said, all of my doubts of Islam left. I knew this was the truth. Allahu Akbar. Khadija radiallahu anha. Her standards are not the standards of society. And this point, I know it might seem like a tangent and it might seem more relevant to simply mention the stories of Khadija, and there are many and I encourage you to study them. But learning and extracting these lessons is very practical today. Khadija radiallahu anha, we take from this nickname of hers, At-Tahira, the importance of studying our own religion. How are we to have morality and modesty if we don't know our own faith? We need to increase religious education in our families, in our communities, with our spouses, with our parents. To start something, to continue something. We have access, alhamdulillah, to many resources and institutes. Number two, we have to work with other people today. There's no doubt. And I hope nobody would disagree with this. Across all lines, we have to work with people. But do not compromise on your religion. Do not feel like the only way I can work with group A or group B is if I remove something that I hold dear to me. If I remove a principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down. Number three, we have to recognize that these different ideologies, while they do affect us, we have to realize that the standards of morality will continue to deteriorate as we get closer to the Day of Judgment. This is a reality. And this requires us to put in more effort, to safeguard our eyes even more when we consume mass media, your ears and what you're listening to, your tongue and what it's speaking, the gatherings and how they're established. And number four, we find that, in general, when secular ideologies and liberal philosophies, when they are trying to claim to Muslim men and women that we want to free you and that we know what freedom is, we have to realize that the reality of their claims cannot be met, because liberalism will tell you, will free you if you conform to the standards and desires of society. You want to be beautiful, you have societal expectations. You want to feel complete as a woman or a man, we'll tell you how to feel complete and we will validate you. What happens when people start dressing, acting, talking, speaking, walking the way society tells them, that's how we'll accept you. Is that really freedom? Freedom is to be liberated from the expectations of the creation and to submit to the expectations of the Creator. Freedom is to liberate oneself from the expectations of the creation and to submit to the expectations of the Creator. Again, freedom is to liberate oneself from the expectations of the creation and to submit to the expectations and the revelation of the Creator. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the true meaning of freedom. Khadija radiallahu anha is a businesswoman. She partners up and she commissions with men who will travel on her behalf, buying and selling products. She finds out about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They hear there's a righteous man, very trustworthy, As-Sadiq al-Amin. She partners up with him as well. When he comes back with the servant of Khadija, Maysara, when they come back, her servant speaks highly of him. He's very honorable. He's very trustworthy. The prophets were twice as much as Khadija, radiallahu anha, expected. She became more interested in him. But nothing happened yet. How did the marriage come to be? Perhaps what one of the shuyukh here referred to as the first matchmaking auntie in Islam. What did she do? Nafisa. She heard about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, heard about Khadija, saw two single people are very righteous, thought, why not? Right? So what happens here? Khadija radiallahu anha, pause for a moment and reflect on this important point. She's widowed twice. She's widowed twice. She had four children. Would people today, would a man from the Muslim community today, be willing to marry someone like Khadija? According to some of the reports, she was 40 years old. Is this something that people, culturally, are open to? Or is there stigma around divorcees and widows? Is there stigma around someone who's been married before, once or twice or three times? And what are we doing to critique, honestly, our own cultural biases? Because we all have some kind of culture, some of which is positive. And I hope that the negative is very little or non-existent. We have to critique these things because they are not a part of our faith. They are cultural matters, cultural baggage. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts and our communities. Khadija radiallahu anha ends up marrying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the scholars say she was at the age of 40. Some say a little younger. But there's no doubt she was older than Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa sallam. Lived with him for 15 years before revelation began. She saw all of his positive traits. We do not have a single report of any argument that took place between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Khadija. Unlike the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of them. What is the point behind this? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received revelation and he's afraid, and you know the story of revelation, it's not the objective here. He runs to Khadija. He runs a long distance, by the way. Perhaps an hour and a half, 2 hours to get back to Khadija. And what does he say? قَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. I'm worried about myself. I'm disgraced. I'm ruined. Something bad is happening. What did she say? كَلَّا. Nope. You're not. You're not disgraced. You're not ruined. This was not a bad thing. أَبْشِرْ. Glad tidings. Remember this word. أَبْشِرْ. Glad tidings. Why? Allah will never disgrace you. Why? She lived with him for 15 years and noticed his positive traits. The following six traits mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Do you pay attention to the positive traits of your wife, your husband, your mother, your father, your children, the people who bother you? Do you only look at their negative traits? Khadija radiallahu anha still does not have Islam. There's still no revelation. Look at how righteous she was. Look at what she pointed out. She mentioned six traits according to this first report. What is the first? Innaka latasilur rahim. You uphold the ties of kinship. And you speak the truth. And I'm going to avoid the, I'm just going to jump into the translations. You speak the truth. You're an honest person. You never lie. So you uphold the ties of kinship. You always uphold relationships. You speak the truth. Number three, you always help those who are in need. You always take the burdens of other people. Number four. Number five, she says, you always welcome the guests. And number six, you're always advocating for causes of truth. Nawa'ib al-Haq, you're always on behalf of the truth, behalf of justice. She noticed righteous traits and there's still no revelation. Meaning to her, she still does not know the rulings of Islam. Look at her fitrah, her natural disposition, radiyallahu anha. Khadija takes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to her cousin Waraqa, an old man who had left Mecca to study the scriptures. Why? Because Christianity was not taught in Mecca. They left, they studied, he came back, he's very old, he's blind. But he knows the scriptures. And he says, when he hears this revelation, he says, this is the same angel that came down to Musa alayhi salam. And if I were young and I lived for many years, I would support you. Nasran mu'azzara, I would be a complete supporter of you. And they're going to kick you out of your land. He says, they're going to kick me out of my land. He says, they're going to kick you out of your land. Nobody came with a similar message before you, except that they were faced with enmity. Did she abandon him? Did she say, I can't take this on anymore? She stood by Rasulullah for the next 10 years of her life, the last 10 years of her life, radiallahu anha. Through all of the incidents of the seerah that you know about, Khadija was a supporter. She was emotionally intelligent. She was mature. She was righteous. Through the siege, through the boycott of the Muslims, when they were cut off and they were starving, Khadija radiallahu anha was a supporter. At the age of 65, towards the end of her life, radiallahu anha, imagine all that she had gone through, standing by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine all that she put in. Her facilitation, Her facilitation of emotional support to Rasulullah facilitated the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's support for the entire ummah. Your support of the supporters is a support for the ummah. Your help for those who help the communities might be your way of helping the ummah. It might be your spouse, it might be a community leader, it might be an activist. Ask about them as well. Ask about the therapists in your community. Ask how you can support them. Be there for them. Khadija radiallahu anha, at the end of her life, in the long narration, I'm paraphrasing, Jibreel alayhi salam comes to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and he says, "Oh Muhammad, ya Rasulullah, Khadija's walking to you, she has some food with her. Give her salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from me. Min Rabbiha, from her Lord and from me. And give her glad tidings of a house in Jannah." And he describes the house in Jannah. Pay attention, and this is my last point. Glad tidings for Khadija at the age of 65 as she's dying, as she's ill, and she's basically losing her health, radiallahu anha. She gave glad tidings to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he came and he said, "I'm ruined, what should I do? I'm ruined." قَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. She said, "Abshir," glad tidings. Glad tidings, O Khadija radiallahu anha. Glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not from us. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this not an honor? Is this not someone that is sufficient for us to study? Men and women. Is this not someone that we can learn from and emulate throughout all of our lives? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of people who benefit from these reminders, who support one another. Hasbuka min nisa'il alameen. Sufficient for you are the women, or among the women of mankind. Maryam, the daughter of Imran, Khadija, the daughter of Khuwaylid, Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. We ask Allah to make us people who support the good wherever it is. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a people of high morality, high modesty, who do not care about conforming to the expectations of society. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts and to purify our homes from anything that is displeasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering, and as He gathered us here today, to reunite all of us in the highest levels of Jannah with Khadija radiallahu anha. Wa salli Allahumma ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.